Today, the world looks pretty different. But already new problems are being met with new thinking. Researchers are using supercomputers to help discover treatments. Retailers are turning to the cloud to restock shelves more quickly. Teachers are using technology to rethink the classroom. It's not all we can do, but it's a start. IBM. Let's put smart to work. See how we're helping at ibm.com/COVID-19/UK.
Is it just me, or does it feel like every day is worse than the one that came before it? Every day that goes by. Every day the last week or so, you think, oh man, it can't get any worse than this, and then every day, just boom, there's some new story that comes out that somehow is worse than the one that came the day before. Daily basis with this stuff. One thing we did learn today is why it is better to be proactive than reactive. That is one very valuable lesson that was learned here this week. Now, 3 months ago, when WWE made the decision to move ahead with the shows and they started running shows at the Performance Center, and all of this, the quarantine shows and everything started, and AEW did the same, right? AEW starting to run shows from Daly's place. They were taping from that gym down in Georgia. I said that it was inevitable. It was inevitable that at some point, these companies, WWE, they're running shows, somebody is going to get sick. It's just a matter of time. It was only a matter of time until something like that happened. And AEW, to their credit, has been doing testing now for a very long time. I don't know exactly when the weekly testing started for AEW, but they have been testing. Tony Khan talked about it at the beginning of every week, usually every Monday. They try, whoever's going to be on the show that week, they try to test them so that way they get the results back by Wednesday. If there's any issues, any discrepancies of any kind, that person is sent home and they're not on the show. And so to that credit, you know, to that effect, I give them credit. QT Marshall, he was pulled from tonight's show. It was supposed to be the Natural Nightmares against FTR. QT Marshall got pulled from tonight's show. He had had brief contact with a non-wrestling acquaintance who has since tested positive for COVID. And rather than bringing him to their testing site, I guess, in Florida, which I believe is it might be in the parking lot. It's near where Daly's place is. They elected to have him stay home in Georgia and get tested there. So that way they're not putting anybody else from the roster at risk, which makes sense. John Moxley, the AEW champion. John Moxley was supposed to be in action on this show tonight. Taz was going to do commentary. It was going to be Moxley in a one-on-one match, you know, preparing for Fyter Fest. And John Moxley was also pulled. In effect, he pulled himself from tonight's show. He came forward to the company. He let the company know that he had been in contact with somebody who had been in contact with somebody. Kind of a third degree of separation, who had been diagnosed with COVID. And rather than risk infecting other people, they told him, stay home, you can get tested at home, don't come to Florida, don't come to our testing site, we don't want to put anybody else at risk. Makes sense. And good on John Moxley. Good on Moxley, who could have just ignored it and said, I'm probably fine, I got to be there, I'm the champ, I got to be on the show. He decided to be honest and say, listen, this is the situation. We don't want to put anybody at risk. Good on him. Seems like common sense, but not everybody in that situation would have done necessarily what he did. Good on him. Although, in light of the WWE news, we don't have any names, but it does make me wonder, who exactly was Moxley in contact with? Is there a WWE connection here? I'm just saying, we don't know. Multiple websites are now reporting that not only have there been positive tests, positive COVID tests of WWE talent, WWE staff, WWE production. These are from the tests last week. Final results came back. The number of positive tests, according to PW Insider, is said to be in the 24 range. 24, not two, 24. That's a lot of positive tests. For one company, that's a lot of positive tests. This was inevitable. this was inevitable as the sky, you know, the clouds in the sky and the sunshine in the morning, darkness and the moon at night. Grass is green, water is wet. We knew this would happen. It was only a matter of time. And to think they brought Ric Flair to the Performance Center last week, knowing that somebody at the Performance Center the week before, which was one of the NXT trainees or developmental talents, whatever you want to call them, had tested positive. They knew that, and they brought Ric Flair in, and people will say, well, he wanted to be there. He was booked for the show. They wrote him into the show. They brought Ric Flair, 71-year-old Ric Flair with a bad heart, with a bad ticker who almost died two different times, and they brought him to the Performance Center, and now we find out that there could be as many as 24 positively diagnosed people who were at the Performance Center at one time or another. Are you fucking kidding me? You mean to tell me that putting a thermometer to people's heads as they got into the building wasn't enough? No. No. Surely you jest. You must be cracking a joke. You must be... Oh, you got a real good sense of humor, you know that? You mean to tell me that that wasn't enough? Really? Really? Apparently not. Got people traveling in from states all over the country. It's not just people in Florida. Got people coming in from Vegas. You got people coming in from New York. You got people coming in from the Pacific Northwest. You got people coming in from Texas. You got people coming in from all parts of the country into this one state, into this one place. And all you're doing are temperature checks? And you didn't think that something was going to happen, that something like this wasn't going to happen? Really? I give AEW credit, at least, for trying to do things the right way. Look, there is something to be said for running a building like Daily's Place. Daily's Place is an open-air building. It is an outdoor venue. It's always going to be better to run an outdoor venue than an indoor venue when it comes to this stuff. That's just common sense. The Performance Center, obviously, is not an outdoor venue. The Performance Center is an indoor venue. AEW has been testing. WWE has not. Now they say they're going to go forward. Going forward, WWE put a statement out saying, we will do testing. Well, bravo. Bravo. How many months has it been, huh? What, 3 months? Now they're going to do testing. 3 months. Now they're going to do testing. Hey, I have another suggestion. Why don't you keep your fucking talent informed of what's going on instead of them wondering, hey, we're hearing things about positive tests. Let me go to PW Insider. Let me go to SE Scoops. Let me go to Wrestling Observer. Let me go to all these different Fightful. Let me go to all these different websites. Let me go on Twitter and see what's going on. If I worked for the company and I had to find out about this shit on social media or on a wrestling news website, I'd be fucking pissed. You had Mia Yim last week, who apparently, I didn't know this until the other day, Mia Yim was going live on Twitch after Raw last week, and that's how she found out about that first positive test a couple of weeks ago. She was on Twitch. She's like, really? And she works for the company. She works for NXT. She's been to the Performance Center a lot. I bet so is Keith Lee. She's on Twitch, and she finds out like everybody else. I probably knew before Mia Yim does. I don't work for WWE. How come I knew and she didn't? This is what's going on? Can you imagine if those numbers are even remotely accurate? I mean, maybe the numbers come, maybe it's not 24. Maybe it ends up being lower, but what if it is? What if it is? What if these numbers are even remotely accurate? The WWE Performance Center could be the new super spreader. I'm not talking about super shredder. Kevin Nash has that taken care of. I'm talking super spreader. Can you imagine? This like becomes ground zero in the state of Florida. The WWE Performance Center. I mean, how could they be allowed to continue after that? Apparently they're going to do SmackDown tapings on Friday. Oh, we're going to test from now on. They're going to tape television on Friday. They're going to have to rewrite the show. Apparently, some people who were going to be on the show now can't be on the show. I don't know what they're going to do there. How can they allow this? How can they allow them to run? This is madness. absolute madness. This is a mess of their own making. I have no sympathy for them. This is a mess of their own making. They have absolutely nobody to blame but themselves for this. This is your AEW. This is an AEW review. I just had to mention that off the top. But this is your AEW Dynamite review for June 24th, 2020. A good show. Not a great show. I didn't think this was a great show. It served its purpose, forwarding certain stories, setting up new matchups for Fyter Fest, which is beginning next week on TNT for 2 weeks. Before I forget, hit the thumbs up. I always forget, but that really does help the video out. So hit that thumbs up button. Super chats are open. We already have some coming in. You can see the special donation amounts are in the description down below. And you can, of course, vote on Twitter at Solomonster. My handle is on the screen. I want to know what you guys thought of both shows tonight, Dynamite and NXT, and we'll talk more about that later. Unfortunately, before I even get into the show, there's even more news, more shitty news in this shitty week to get into here. Hangman Page, he's going to be on television next week defending the AEW tag team titles. Hangman Page has left Twitter. I think he's still on Instagram, but Hangman Page has deactivated his Twitter account. No, he's not accused of anything, but if you're Hangman Page, and think of the people you're friendly with in the industry, and after this week of news and all of the things that we've heard against people like Marty Scurll and Joey Ryan, all of these different names, you know what? If I was Hangman Page, I'd have to disconnect too. God only knows what's going through his head and the Elite and all them, what they must be thinking. Hear things like this about their friends. I'm sure they're all very upset about this. They scared off poor Hangman. Hangman is no longer on Twitter, although I think he might have the right idea. But yes, a lot of his friends and people who have appeared on Being the Elite are not cast in a very positive light right now. It's a lot to digest, you know, these allegations and these accusations. It's you know, I talked about it a little bit the other day, and we just keep learning more new information every day. Joey Ryan is a scumbag. I never liked him anyway. Joey Ryan is a scumbag. Now Marty Scurll has been accused. The statement he put out, I mean, what a joke. But Sammy Guevara had a bad week. Sammy Guevara was supposed to be on the show tonight. He was supposed to wrestle on the show tonight. And much like Moxley and much like QT Marshall, he was not on the show tonight. Why was he not on the show? Well, unless you're living under a rock, you probably know by now somebody unearthed audio from a podcast he did about 4 years ago, a podcast that he was on, and it was right around the time he had just had a WWE tryout. This was back in 2016. He was at the Performance Center, had his tryout. Sasha Banks was brought up. Obviously, Sammy thinks that Sasha Banks is a very attractive woman. The way that he verbalize that here. I don't need to repeat what he said. You've all heard it by now. What he said, joking or not, about Sasha Banks was fucking disgusting. There's no excuse for it. No, he was 22 years old. It's funny, when I was 22 years old, I don't remember walking around saying the same kind of shit that he was saying in that clip. I still had a lot to learn. I'm sure I said a lot of things that I wish I could go back and take back, but not anything like what he said here in this clip. There's no excuse. Age is not an excuse. What he said was very, very stupid. And unfortunately for him now, he's paying a heavy price for it. I mean, the thought would never even enter my brain to say something like that about somebody who I thought was attractive, to use that word and say that, and to do it in a public forum. What are you thinking? What, to fit in on some stupid show that you're on? And what if he got the job with WWE? You're going to go on a show and say something like that about somebody and then potentially go work with that person? You're going to share the same locker room with, well, not the same locker room, that would be creepy, but you're going to be on the same roster potentially with that person after saying something like that? So clearly his brain was not functioning in a very good way, but he was supposed to be on Dynamite tonight. He was supposed to have a match against Matt Hardy, and that did not happen. AEW has suspended Sammy Guevara without pay. They have mandated that he attend sensitivity training. after which the company will evaluate his status with the company. So it's not a guarantee that he's going to serve his time in sensitivity training, get his pay doc for 30 days or whatever it is, and then just come back. There is still the possibility that AEW may decide to fire Sammy Guevara. Now, I don't think they will. I don't think they should. But I don't think they will. But they've left it open-ended. His job is still in jeopardy with this company over this comment. That during his suspension, the company will be donating his salary to the Women's Center of Jacksonville, so at least something good is coming out of this. Also, very interesting, I don't know if you picked up on this, but tonight on Dynamite, Sammy was removed from the show introduction. So he was not in the intro to the show. Might mean nothing, but never a good sign to be removed from the intro to the show. Sammy spoke privately with Sasha Banks. They had a phone call. Sasha put a statement out about it as well. He later issued a separate video apology, a two-minute video, again, just apologizing. I was young. I was stupid. Now, the Sammy Guevara you saw in that video there is not the same Sammy Guevara of today. I thought, look, respect to the guy. I thought it was a good video. He seemed, you know, genuine about the whole thing. Look, I'm sure he's all ripped up about this whole thing. He's probably embarrassed as all hell. He seemed genuine. I thought that was the right thing for him to do. I thought the video was a good move on his part. We've had a lot of people putting statements and things out the last few days that have done more damage to their reputation than it has helped them. But I think the video that Sammy put out was good. It was a good idea. I think that he will be back. I don't want to see the guy lose his job over this. I don't think it's worth it for him to lose his job over this. Now, the allegations that are coming out about actual assault are far more serious than what Sammy Guevara did. Not excusing it, but I mean, the two things are not exactly the same. Everything we're hearing about some of these other people, these monsters, not the same thing as what Sammy Guevara did. And that's the thing that kind of sucks, is that you have everybody lumping it in together. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair. But that doesn't make what he said any less stupid. It was a stupid fucking thing for him to say. And frankly, anybody defending it is just as stupid as he was the day that he said it. If you are defending his comments, you are a dum-dum. Plain and simple. Now, with that out of the way, let's talk wrestling. Show opened tonight with a lumberjack match, Wardlow and Luchasaurus. But before I get to that, I do want to welcome everybody in the chat who is joining me here tonight on a very newsworthy night in the world of wrestling, as you could tell. You know it's a newsworthy night when I start out with WWE on an AEW review. It happens from time to time. It does happen, but Ojolly Burgos hit me with the $20 before we went live tonight. He was very upset with the way that they treated Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela on the show tonight. I am going to get to that a little bit later on. JWD82X, thank you, MJF, he says, would be a great heel champion. I agree. Jackalope Music, thank you. Jacob Donnelly with the 10th spot. I think Tony Khan deserves Promoter of the Year. He's done his absolute best to make sure the roster is safe, has been honest with the fans on the situation, all while maintaining a quality product. Well, true. True. Of course, if he really wanted to keep everybody safe, he could just not run shows. But I get what you're saying. And yeah, I said before, AEW does deserve credit for at least being ahead of WWE when it came to the testing stuff. There was no excuse. If AEW could do it, there was no excuse for WWE not to be. I understand they have more people, they have a bigger roster, but there's no excuse. There's no excuse. It's embarrassing that they would let the number two do better than them when it came to that stuff. And this is a company that has a talent wellness policy. It's embarrassing. They should be ashamed. Mundane Wrestling Butthole is nasty. Yes. Thank you for the super chat. FTR against SCU was phenomenal. Yes, it was. All right. Lumberjack match. We finally got the Lumberjack stipulation. This match was originally made back in March. We did not get the match then. That's when everything really hit And so we didn't have a chance. This was actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, I believe this might have been originally scheduled for the Blood and Guts show, which never happened, which is why we never got it, but we got it here. And now that I've had the chance to watch the Lumberjack match, I've come to the realization that it was a waste. You didn't need to have all the Lumberjacks out there. You could have had Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt. You could have had MJF. And you could have done the exact same thing. I know why they did it, because they wanted a couple of spots. You know, Wardlow would press somebody and throw them onto the pile of people. That's why they did it. But you really didn't need all these guys out there. Wardlow looked good. I thought Wardlow was very impressive in this match. Hit a superplex off the top rope to Luchasaurus. MJF the whole time was cheerleading outside the ring or yelling at Wardlow, "I'm paying you a lot of money." That was sort of his go-to line there. Anyway, these two fought onto the stage. Wardlow picked up Brandon Cutler. He tossed him onto the pile of people down below. He got Marco Stunt, tossed him down onto the pile of people down below. He got knocked off the stage himself. Luchasaurus Shooting Star Press off the platform, down onto everybody. Back in the ring, Luchasaurus hit a choke slam. MJF jumped up on the apron, distracted the referee, and Jungle Boy charged at MJF, took him out with a tope. And Wardlow hit the low blow. Referee didn't see it. F10. And Wardlow gets the win. So, you know, two big guys just kind of beating the hell out of each other. Again, I don't think the Lumberjack stipulation was needed. But this all builds now to Fyter Fest. It's now going to be MJF and Wardlow teaming up against Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. That is official for next week. Tony Schiavone, once again, was having notes passed along to him like a kid in high school by Britt Baker, who was in her Rolls Royce, her golf cart down below. This week, it was surrounded by plexiglass, so that way nobody could get to her. Big Swole couldn't get to her. And I guess she was protected from COVID as well. Locked in her little cocoon there. Hikaru Shida against Red Velvet. I don't know where Red Velvet came from. If you blinked, you missed this match. Red Velvet did not get a lot of camera time tonight. This was more of an angle than a match. Shida came out. Penelope Ford and Kip Sabian were in the audience. Shida went right over to them. She wanted her hands on Penelope Ford badly. She got in the ring. High knee, Falcon Arrow. This thing was over in 5 seconds. That was it. This was barely a match. And as soon as she got the pin, Shida rolled out of the ring, and she went right after Penelope Ford. I thought that was great. She hit her from behind. She jumped over the barricade. She was beating the hell out of her. She beat the hell out of Kip Sabian, broke his sunglasses. This was great. Shida, it almost looked like, if you didn't know any better, you would think that she really hated this woman. It was almost like a shoot, and she was going after her, but that's what you got to do, right? You got to show that intensity every now and then. So we got to see a side of Shida here that we haven't seen before. Lord Frieza, wondering if COVID is the lethal dose of poison that Vince McMahon talked about. Could be. He has injected his company with a lethal dose of something. Darlene with the $5 super chat. Your thoughts on the podcaster leaking Sammy's terrible Sasha Banks comments because he was jet lag. I don't know what the story is behind who leaked it, why they leaked it. You know, people do stupid shit like that all the time. Wherever it came from, you know, whoever did it, I'm sure they had an agenda of their own. But once it's out there, you know, you gotta take it for what it is. You can't just ignore it. So I don't want to make any excuses for Sammy Guevara. It's him, right? He said it, and now he's got to own up to it, and he's paying a price for it. That's all there is to it. But as far as the podcaster who leaked it and everything, I don't listen to the show. I don't really care. Not my thing. I could care less about that person. Desmond the Wolf. You look like that white guy. I forgot his name. Yeah, I get that a lot. Crash with the $2. Thank you. Are they still popping fireworks in your area? Miraculously, it's been very quiet tonight. I hope you didn't just jinx me. Every night, it's like a sonic boom outside for like 20 minutes. Then it stops. Then it starts again. All throughout Brooklyn. Seems like a very coordinated effort. And these are not regular fireworks. These are like, this is the good shit. I mean, I feel bad for anybody who has pets. I don't have a pet anymore. But if you have cats and dogs, these poor animals are going to have PTSD if they don't get this taken care of here. This has been happening for a couple of weeks now. And next week it's going to get worse because you got July 4th. Forget about it. It's going to be like Desert Storm outside. I'm going to be doing my Dynamite review in a couple of weeks with a helmet on. I'm going to have to take cover every time there's a boom outside my window. But right now it's quiet. Jason Jimerson, thank you for the five. Can we shove the year 2020 into a blender and hit... Yes. There's a lot of things I'd like to do to the year 2020. I think we could do worse than that, right? We could probably burn it, throw it off the side of a cliff, piss on it. There's a lot of things we could do to this year. Think about this. We're only 6 months in. We're only halfway. This is only the halfway point. We got another 6 months of this to go. I shudder to think what's coming down the pike. Jared, thank you for the 25. TNT title, it's on the line of Fyter Fest. It's going to be Cody defending against Jake Hager, but first they had a press conference. I really like this segment. They had a press conference. Cody was seated at a table with his posse behind him, holding the title up. Arn Anderson was there. Arn Anderson took the first question from somebody allegedly from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, who asked him a question. Arn is great, so Arn Anderson cut an Arn Anderson promo. And he says that he took the opportunity to come and take a crack at Cody. This has to do with what happened with Cody and Hager previously. And Arn, by holding Cody back, he was like trying to fire him up. He says, mission accomplished. Now Cody is hungry. He's ready for Jake Hager at Fyter Fest. We had another PWI question. This one directed to Cody. How does it feel to be the first ever TNT champion? So Cody says, you know, I don't have the best reputation. I'm a bit of a Boy Scout. I take wrestling very seriously, but it's because it has fed me as long as I've been alive. And he says, I like to fight. I like real wrestling, not cosplay wrestling, which is an interesting comment. It almost seemed like a dig. Maybe I'm wrong, but that could be taken as a dig at the Elite, right? We've seen the Elite come out dressed up sometimes as characters and stuff. It just goes to what we were talking about last week. Are little seeds being planted for the eventual Cody heel turn? And him mentioning that makes me wonder if that was another one of those little seeds that was planted there. Talked about the TNT title. It's still unfinished. This title that we see on TV is still not the final version of the TNT championship. So in comes Jake Hager. He arrives late with his wife, Catalina, and they come onto the dais. They had their pose like you would see at an MMA press conference or a boxing press conference. They did the pose. Hager put his fist out, kind of in Cody's face, just to kind of fuck with them a little bit. And this ended with Hager's wife taking a glass of water, splashing it in Cody's face. And Cody's telling everybody, okay, back down, back down. But I'm like, if I'm Brandi Rhodes, why isn't Brandi going after this woman? She should have speared her right there on that stage. But Cody held everybody back, said, no, it's fine. It's fine. So there's no physical confrontation between Hager and Cody, but I really like this a lot. They treated this almost like a, like I said, like a UFC press conference. They treated it like it was a real fight. Like it was an MMA fight or a boxing match. So I like that element of realism. And you know what I liked about that? The fact that it wasn't the tired old contract signing. How many times do we see contract signings in the middle of the ring, right? This was not a contract signing. It was something different. It wasn't in the ring. I liked it. I'd like to see them do more of that. There was a segment with Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela. I saw the full version of this on their YouTube channel. I would tell everybody to go on their YouTube channel and watch it. This was the abbreviated version. They really just cut this thing to pieces. This was the continuation of the segment from a few weeks ago, where Sonny Kiss is driving along, get on in, I'll give you a ride home. And so they're driving together. She, you know, he gets out of the car and he's like, you want to drive the car? So he lets Joey drive. They pull into a gas station. Joey goes in to get some snacks. Sonny Kiss is putting gas in the car. All of a sudden, a posse of guys pull up behind him. Oh, this is a nice car you have here. Joey's inside. He's oblivious to all of this. I'm talking about the full version that I watched. And so he's inside. He has no idea what's going on outside. And then, of course, they attack Sonny Kiss. Sonny Kiss fights him off, but he gets overwhelmed. Joey comes outside, and Joey goes ahead, and they team up to beat up all the guys. And, of course, they're all laying on the ground, unconscious. And they get back in the car, and they drive off. If you watch the full version with the music and just the way it was shot, it's got a very retro wave feel to it. I like that. I like the retro wave stuff, so I dig that. I'm a big fan of that. And I just like the storytelling. It was like a little mini movie in the segment. So this led to Brody Lee and Colt Cabana against Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela. A rare Sonny Kiss appearance on Dynamite and not AEW Dark. In fact, they said that this was Sonny Kiss's very first Dynamite match. Which is kind of hard to believe. I mean, Dynamite's been on the air now for... Oh, gosh, what has it been? Probably 8 months now, 8 or 9 months, I'm going to guess. This is his first match on Dynamite. And he made the most of the opportunity. I thought Sonny Kiss here, he was flying around. He was very impressive in this match. Very impressive also in Lucha Underground. I was a big fan of his work when he was in Lucha Underground. I mean, that was the first time I was really exposed to his work, was in Lucha Underground. And so anyway, he made the most of the opportunity here. I really wish Janela and Kiss would have won. They did not win this match. I wish they would have won. I'm more intrigued by them as a team, frankly, than I am Brody Lee and Colt Cabana. But I understand, you know, the whole angle is around them. That's why they won. I wish it would have gone the other way. They didn't even give these guys entrances. They got the video package treatment, and then they didn't even give them entrances. They gave them the jobber entrance. So, anyway, they were hitting tandem moonsaults. Janela hit a moonsault to the outside. Sonny Kiss hit a moonsault to the outside. Back inside, Sonny Kiss hit Colt Cabana with a 450 splash. Joey Janela was legal. He made the cover. Brody Lee broke it up. And Kiss hit a high cross onto some of the Dark Order members outside the ring. He ended up getting beaten down. And this ended with Colt Cabana covering Joey Janela, who had gotten the discus lariat. And Colt Cabana scurried over, and he got the pin. And he was, of course, Colt Cabana couldn't win a match recently to save his life, so he was ecstatic to win a match finally. He's not officially a member of the Dark Order, but he's certainly acting like one. That's the whole point of the angle here. He's finally winning. They're trying to recruit him. Is he in? Is he not in? So they gave them the win. As Sonny Kiss is helping Joey Janela out of the ring after the match, in comes Lance Archer. We haven't seen him in a few weeks. He mows the two of them down. Jake Roberts is there. He's holding them back. All right, enough. They got enough. So that was our first appearance by Archer in a while. Chris Quillman. Good to hear from Chris, as we usually do every week. Orange Cassidy must be a huge Solomonster fan. Otherwise, why would he be wearing your face on his shirt? That's a damn good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Drinks Quality, thank you for the super chat. Andrew Jorlog with the $18. Thank you, Andrew. Rodimus Prime. And George Romani with the $50 super chat drop. Thank you, George. That means a lot. Best wrestling show on YouTube. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. $50. It's mighty nice of you, George. Mundane Wrestling is back again. I missed the Lucha Bros so very much, especially Pentagon Jr. And Food Hive. Thank you, Food Hive. Happy to have you with me. I joined the Dark Order as their chef. All right. Well, hey, you got some good videos up on your channel. Maybe they can learn how to cook some meals on their own. FTR. We had FTR against SCU. Acronyms running wild here in this match. This was supposed to be FTR against QT Marshall. And Dustin Rhodes, QT, though, is out of commission, so we had SCU. And you know what? Sometimes they say things happen for a reason. This was a damn good tag team match. This was the best match on the show. I enjoyed this. FTR, they're in their comfort zone, man. They got to be so happy right now to be able to go out on television and have these kinds of matches. I mean, they haven't had that many yet. But you could tell that they are just having a blast in there. And they're doing their thing. This is all they wanted. They wanted to be part of a tag team division that was strong, where they could be featured for the talents that they bring to the table. Look, there's nothing flashy about FTR. FTR is not the most exciting tag team in the world to watch or to listen to. But you know what they are? They're very good tag team wrestlers. So when you take two teams like SCU and FTR and you put them in the ring together for the first time, you're going to get a very good wrestling match. And that's what we got here. SCU hit a powerbomb neckbreaker combo. Dax Harwood kicked out. Daniels hit the Angel's Wings on Harwood. Wheeler broke it up. And Wheeler blind tagged himself in. And FTR hits the Goodnight Express. They pin Christopher Daniels again. Very good tag team match. So they get on the mic. FTR does. And they're talking about, you know, all the different teams. They're shouting out all the different teams. Jungle Boy and that dumbass dinosaur partner of yours. They call them out. They call out Santana and Ortiz. They call out the tag team champions. They call out the Young Bucks. They talk about how they're the best tag team on the planet. Butcher and Blade. The Butcher and the Blade show up. And they're over by the pickup truck that FTR drove in. They're in the pickup truck. And the Butcher has a mic for the Blade. The Blade. The Blade has a mic. I always get them confused. The Butcher is the one that looks like something out of 1889, right? Okay, good. So the Butcher is in the driver's seat, and the Blade has the microphone, and as FTR is about to walk over, they're like, take one more step, and we're going to destroy your car. So FTR stays in the ring, and all of a sudden, Pentagon and Phoenix show up. We haven't seen Pentagon and Phoenix on Dynamite in weeks and weeks. I don't think we've seen Phoenix since he got hurt before Double or Nothing. So they slide into the ring, and there they are, standing behind FTR. And the Blade says that they are challenging FTR to an 8-man tag team match at Fyter Fest. It's going to be FTR and the Young Bucks against the Butcher and the Blade and their partners who have no fear. Cerro Miedo, Pentagon, and Phoenix, they attack. They hit their package pile driver foot stomp combo to FTR to put them down. Young Bucks come out and make the save. So to get them on the card next week, they put together this 8-man tag for Fyter Fest. Now we get to see the Bucks and FTR as partners. Again, the slow burn. We're going to get to the match, probably it all out. Slow burn. You don't have to rush into. This is exactly what I said when they debuted. Don't put them in the ring yet with the Young Bucks. Give them some matches on TV. Let them win a few matches. Build them up. I would even think about putting the tag team titles on them first. I might just have FTR be the ones to beat Hangman and Kenny Omega. And that way, when we finally do get around to FTR against the Bucks have to beat them to win the titles. I wouldn't necessarily do it the other way around. So something to think about. Maybe that's what they're thinking as well. Jacob Donnelly, why do Butcher and Blade look like 60s Batman villains? I don't know. That's a good idea. Actually, they kind of look like the guys that would, if they were coming to put somebody in a straitjacket and take them to the asylum. That's what they look like every time I look at them. And Cuba the Goat. Cuba the Goat with the $1.99. We had Taz was supposed to be on commentary for a Jon Moxley match. Jon Moxley wasn't there, and so Brian Cage took his place. The jobber, poor job guy. He was probably wishing that Jon Moxley was there. Cage just destroyed this guy. Total squash. He won quickly with the drill claw. Taz got on the mic. Taz did what Taz does best. Taz on the mic is still one of the best. He can't go physically, he can't wrestle or anything, but the fire is still there. I wish we got that kind of fire and intensity in promos more often. Not from some guy who can't wrestle and back it up. But this is why I like the idea of having the managers or the coaches in AEW, Arn Anderson. You know, whenever we get to hear him speak, Taz, I think, has done a fantastic job with Brian Cage so far. He was on fire here. Where's Jon Moxley? Then he looks into the camera. He goes, hey, Brian, look, right behind that lens. He's sitting on his ass at home with some bullshit excuse about why he couldn't be here tonight. Says Moxley's title is in grave danger. I thought Taz was fantastic. All Cage has to do is stand there. That's all he's got to do. Doesn't have to say a word. All he has to do is go out there and kill people and let Taz do the talking for him. Perfect combination. Britt Baker. Back to Britt Baker. Britt Baker passing notes still to Tony Schiavone. I think she's got a thing for the guy. Maybe she's got a thing for the baristas. Maybe she would have a thing for Batista. I don't know. But she's passing notes. Big Swole shows up and she's taunting her. You can't get me. I'm behind the plexiglass. I can't hear you. It's soundproof. Big Swole says, okay. She had called Big Swole, I think, what would she call her? Piece of trash, or she called her trash. Big Swole shows up, can't get inside. Okay, no problem. Big Swole goes and leaves. What does she do? She gets on the back. She gets on the back of the Rolls Royce because there's an open top. She's got a garbage can. She pours garbage on top of Britt Baker. Britt Baker has a meltdown. Get me out of here. Britt Baker is great. Should only be a few more weeks. And she should be cleared to come back. It's supposed to be 6 weeks, so we're at least halfway through at this point. Maybe 4 weeks in. So if she's on schedule, she should be good to go in the next few weeks. What's going on in the chat? I do sometimes neglect to say hello to everybody, so I hope everybody's having a good night. Thank you again for joining me tonight. I do appreciate it. Santana against Damascus Matt Hardy. This was going to be Sammy Guevara. Obviously, that did not happen. The fans got to vote online as to the Matt Hardy persona they wanted to see here in this match. It was going to be Sammy making the choice, and Sammy did not make the choice. The fans made the choice. The fans picked Damascus Matt. So we got Damascus Matt Hardy. Neo One arrived. That's his new drone friend, which Excalibur explained. It stands for Nature's Electronic Organism. I don't know how he knows these things, but apparently he knows, and that's the name of the drone. It's Neo One. That's what Neo One stands for. Makes me think of Neo Geo back in the day. I didn't have a Neo Geo. I always wanted one. I don't even know what games they had for Neo Geo. I just know it was a gaming platform. I don't know what the actual games for it were. It fizzled out, so obviously it wasn't that popular, but I'm old enough to remember the ads in GamePro magazine and commercials for Neo Geo. Anyway, now they have Nat Geo, which is a cable channel. I thought this match was average at best. Matt Hardy, he was not moving around very well. As the match went on, it was more and more noticeable, so I'm not sure if he got hurt in the course of the match, or it's just the fact that Matt is beat up and he's older. This is not the Matt Hardy of 10 years ago or 15 years ago. You know, you just watch him walk. He can't even walk straight. He's had a lot of injuries. So I just thought this match was very plodding and just not very good. I did get a kick out of him using three side effects. He hit the side effect, went for the pin, couldn't pin him. Went for another side effect, went for the pin, couldn't hit him. Went for a third side effect, couldn't pin him. And I think, I don't remember if it was Excalibur or who it was on commentary, made the comment like, maybe that move is not the move to use to win this match. After you've done three of them, to no avail, you might want to move on to a different move. And so that's what happened here. Santana hit a sit-out powerbomb. Hardy managed to reverse into a roll-up for the win. Ortiz ran in for the attack. They hit the street sweeper on Matt. Out comes Private Party. Isaiah Cassidy was wearing a Shad Gaspard t-shirt, which was very cool. I believe that was the one. There's two of them. I have one. The other one is the one that he was wearing, which I believe is the one from Pro Wrestling Tees, with all proceeds going to the family. So if they still sell them, it's a pretty cool shirt. So I noticed it right away that is what he was wearing. Casanova King, thank you for the $5 drop, my friend. Hope you are doing well. The show ended with a face-off between Chris Jericho and Blood Orange Cassidy. Finally, I got to headline an episode of Dynamite. I'm so excited. So Chris Jericho gets on the mic. Then he says, why did the chicken cross the road? He says, why did the chicken cross the road? Three times he says this, just to get to the other side. He says, you know, that's a funny joke the first time you heard it in your life. By the second, third, fourth, fifth, 10th, 20th time, It's not funny anymore. It's not funny. It's not amusing. It actually gets more and more annoying. He goes, that's Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy is the chicken crosses the road joke of pro wrestling, he said. He says, a fighter fest, I'm going to make sure Orange Cassidy runs out of juice. Orange Cassidy grabs the mic like he's going to actually speak, puts it down, does the shin kicks to piss off Jericho. Jericho takes off his sunglasses, Cassidy's, he destroys them. And that was a bridge too far for Orange Cassidy. He takes him down with a double leg, rolls out of the ring. They brawl into the mostly non-existent audience. They brawl into the outside area. They did have people in the crowd. Like, they had a section of people. I don't know, like WWE, if it was friends and family. They walked right by them. That was stupid. That was dumb. I don't know why they would do that, but Jericho caught him with the jib. They had the jib camera with the long crane. He swung it into Orange Cassidy's head. Orange Cassidy came up bleeding from the right ear. That's this one. I don't know why I pointed to this one. Running, leaping Superman punch. Orange Cassidy, he kind of backed up one of the aisles in the audience and came shooting in with a leaping Superman punch, knocked Jericho backwards down through a table. That's how they went off the air. That's how they ended the show. It was good in that they put the pieces together for Fyter Fest next week. I mean, think of it like a go-home show. Next week is kind of like a pay-per-view edition of Dynamite. And this was the go-home show. I didn't think it was a great show, but they did what they had to do to promote the next 2 weeks. We now know the rundown. We know the matches for next week. We know the matches for July 8th. Next week, night one of Fyter Fest. Going to be MJF and Wardlow against Jurassic Express. Private Party with Matt Hardy in their corner, taking on Santana and Ortiz of the Inner Circle. Shida defends the AEW Women's Championship against Penelope Ford. Cody defends the TNT title against Jake Hager. And in the main event, unless that's the main event, but this could be, actually this probably won't be the main event, but Kenny Omega and Hangman Page defend the AEW tag team titles against Best Friends. And then on night two, July 8th, which is head-to-head against the big winner-take-all champion versus champion title-for-title match on NXT, Lance Archer takes on Joey Janela. Nyla Rose will be in action, promising a big surprise, whatever that is. Colt Cabana and Brody Lee team up with Stu Grayson against SCU. Young Bucks and FTR take on Lucha Bros and Butcher and Blade. Chris Jericho takes on Blood Orange Cassidy. And Jon Moxley defends the AEW title against Brian Cage. I'm trying to think which night looks stronger to me. Yeah, they're about even. I was going to say night one looks a little bit stronger, but I'd say they're about even. I think that's a decent enough job of spreading things out. So anyway, that's the next 2 weeks. We got two big episodes of Dynamite to review these next 2 weeks coming up. Let us take a look at what you guys thought of the shows tonight. We'll start, as we always do, with AEW. First and foremost, 78% up, 21% down. So that's a pretty damn good score. I don't even know what I'm saying. That's a pretty good score, but how does that compare to NXT? All right, 67.9% thumbs up, 32% thumbs down. So NXT has some work to do. Not too far off, but they've got some work to do to play catch up with AEW. If you have not already done so, please do go at Solomonster right there. You see the handle, and you guys can vote. Polls are going to be open for the next 2 days. I was going to say 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks. Definitely not. Definitely not going to be 2 weeks. But yes, you can definitely go vote right now. Casanova King, you are a beast. Thank you for the $5. And Mundane, yet again, Cesar Bonanni had a cameo appearance on Dynamite. I did not know that he was gone from WWE. Is he the, oh God, where is he from? Portugal? I forgot where he's from. We haven't seen him in forever on NXT. I just assumed he was still under contract, but just wasn't getting a lot of TV time. on the NXT show, but now apparently somebody is telling me that he was in the crowd on Dynamite tonight, so maybe he is. Maybe he's AEW bound. Who knows? Who knows whether or not he is AEW bound or not? So with that being said, I do want to take some of your calls and find out what's going on in your minds here in this very hectic week of pro wrestling. We'll take a few here, and then I have a few words to wrap things up here at the end. So let us begin with 631.
Hello?
Hey, 631.
Hey, what's up, Jason? How you doing, bro?
Good. How are you?
Awesome. Thought it was a good show tonight. Maybe not as good as last week's, but I mean, even before we get into that, it was a pretty rough week to be a wrestling fan. Especially, I know you're about as same as my age. I'm 38. It's pretty crazy to hear the things we've heard about everything that's gone on and everyone. And it's pretty gross to know that guys that we've been, you know, been fans of and supported have been these types of people. And the more they get outed, the better I think it is. You know, I would rather not be fooled again, you know, and unfortunately we have the distinction of being wrestling fans during a time like this where it's very gross. Not to get into personal cases, you know, but it's just gross overall.
Yeah. No, I mean, of course.
However, I think tonight, I think they did a great job of shining lights away from that type of stuff and having a show that they normally would. And you touched on it before about how Moxley wasn't out there tonight. I wanted to bring that up first. Brian Cage coming out, having a squash. And I love the way they alluded to Moxley being in contact with someone who was in contact. Because we could all connect the dots and know that they're basically saying, hey, look, he's married to someone in the other company, and these guys have no idea what's going on over there. There's just two positive cases coming up left and right. So we left our gold piece, our champion, off the show tonight to be safe, and they played it into an angle, which I thought was genius.
Yeah, look, it's called making the best of a bad situation. If Moxley was going to have a squash, it's not that big of a deal. If he had had a title match scheduled for tonight or was going to be part of like a big main event, it would have been a bigger issue. It worked out fine.
Correct.
Because all you had to do was get Taz on the microphone at the end. I assume what Taz said wasn't all that different than what he would have said on commentary had Moxley been there. And that Taz promo was fire. So, you know, if anything, I think it might have worked out better.
I thought the Taz promo gave everything that I was saying that much more legs. Mm-hmm. And back, you know, you were an ECW guy too, and Taz's promos back then were legendary. And I mean, you're not going to be able to give him the same leeway that he had back on MSG at 1 a.m. back in the 1998. But yeah, he's going to, when you give him situations like this where he can come off as real, it makes for great TV. And Brian Cage is talented enough to where this match has now become something to, you know, be interested in.
Yeah, no, I agree. Any other thoughts on the show before I let you go?
Yes, just one more. I thought the tag team match was great again with
which one?
With Hangman.
There's always multiple.
I'm sorry, not Hangman.
There's always
SCU.
Multiple tag team matches on the show.
Right, no, I meant SCU and FTR. Okay. I thought that was one of the best tag team matches of the year. And it was, like you said, it was a blessing in disguise that QT Marshall and Dustin couldn't go tonight. And SCU stepped in because it was, I imagine these guys have seen each other before, been around each other, and to have a match on a national stage like this, just impromptu, they couldn't have put it together any better. Great finish, great workers. And it highlighted what's about to come for this tag team division with FTR there. Thanks a lot, Jason. Have a great night, brother.
You too, man. Thank you for the call. As always, I appreciate it. I just want to give a shout-out to, in the chat, I think it was it Rob? Let me see here. I'm just trying to keep track of everything going on. Yeah, Rob Bass, man. That's rough, man. That is rough. So I'm sorry to hear that. You know, Rob apparently has lost a lot of people to COVID, which, again, it makes you, when you have these idiots who kind of talk about it as like it's not a big deal at all, You know, you can argue whether things are overplayed or not, but to say that it's not a big deal at all, everyone is fine, and then you hear from people who actually have lost people, and you realize, you know, those people are fucking idiots. So, Rob, I don't know if he left yet or not, but again, I'm sorry to hear that. Let's go to 786, which I believe is, if I'm not mistaken, from the new epicenter of COVID here in this country. Is this from Florida?
Yes, sir.
Oh boy. Well, I hope you're doing okay. I hope you're safe wherever you are.
Yeah, I'm here in Miami. I'm doing okay. I hope you're doing okay too, Solomon.
I'm doing all right.
Well, thank you for taking my call. It's the first time calling in. I really do like your work. I like your show.
Thank you.
I did watch AEW tonight. It was a solid show. I just wanted to briefly touch on where the wrestling business is at. I'm just around the same age as you. I'm not really too fond of where the business is going right now, especially with all these scandals that are happening. I think, though, that if these wrestlers and these promoters take any lesson from all this, is that we've got to do better. They've got to do better. They got to treat people better. If this business is survived going forward, if after COVID is done, I don't think it's just enough to just speak out about. There has to be dramatic and drastic changes from top down.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. We're seeing a lot of the independent promotions are really feeling the effects of this. We learned today Chikara is no more. Mike Quackenbush was outed. He put a statement out but has not responded to the allegations made against him. A lot of stuff has come out about him and Chikara, and it's not good. And even before Chikara was effectively shut down earlier today, a lot of the trainers and wrestlers had already left. They said, look, we had no idea this was going on. This is horrendous. We want no part of this. We're gone from the Wrestle Factory, which I guess was the school. We're gone from Chikara, Hella Wicked, and all these people who had been associated with the promotion for so many years. You know, they don't want to be part of something like that. And apparently a lot of the stories seem to have merit, and they said goodbye, and now Chikara is no more. Joey Ryan's Bar Wrestling should be behind Bars Wrestling. That promotion seems to be done. And that's not the last of it. I don't think we've heard the last of some promotions drying up. There's going to be a lot more fallout from this, but that's huge. I mean, Chikara has been around for a very long time. I had a friend who was working for Chikara at one point. Not a lot, but, you know, it was like a goal of his to try to get to Chikara and work for the promotion, and he knew other people, friends of his, that worked there. I mean, so it's a big deal. You know, it may not have been a big company on the scale of an AEW or a WWE, but that's a big story. And there could be more fallout yet to come from it. So that's all these stories. It's been so difficult to just keep track of it every day. It's just some other horrible piece of news that comes out. And I fear that we're not done yet. I fear that we have not yet hit rock bottom with all of this news. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Mr. Monster?
Good.
Yeah, I caught the show tonight. And you know, I got to tell you, too, I had no idea what was going on this week until I listened to your show on Sunday.
Yeah.
With all these outings and stuff. It was freaking nuts. I mean, I haven't even got words, so, you know.
Yeah, look, it's not the sort of thing I want to even cover on my show. I had my whole lineup planned for the Sunday show, and then all this stuff started really boiling up on Thursday. It got worse on Friday. It carried over into Saturday. I said, well, there go my plans for the show. I had to blow everything up that I was going to, you know, what I was planning on doing. I think I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning trying to get everything together because I never saw anything like it. Every hour there was something new or there was some new allegation and you're like, oh boy, you know, now all these allegations are coming from every direction. How do you separate fact from fiction? But then a lot of these people were putting statements out acknowledging. They were acknowledging their behavior and some were apologizing and some were making excuses. And it's like some of these things, there's no excuse. And it's like you wake up in the morning and you wonder who's going to be the new bad guy today. It's disgusting what's going on. absolutely disgusting. And like I said, I fear that tomorrow and Friday, and we got a few more days before I record 658 on Sunday, and I have a fear that it might be a similar situation where it's just going to be this whole wealth of news that has to be covered. The Will Ospreay stuff, all of it is just, it's terrible.
It reminds me of the Me Too stuff when you're like starting to hear about actors that you're like, oh my God, not him too, you know?
Yeah, and you know, I didn't even look into this. I don't even have the energy for it, but the New York Post had an article, and I'll see if I could find it and actually put it up on screen here in a second. Something about Terry Runnels accusing Brock Lesnar of exposing himself to her. So now Brock Lesnar has been brought into this whole situation. Like, what is going on here? What is going on? I don't know.
Well, I noticed somebody in the chat mentioned Darby, too. I mean, have you heard anything about Darby?
Here's what we have to be careful. Well, here's what we have to be careful about. A lot of the stuff that's coming out, and this is what I kind of struggle with, because as somebody who does a podcast, this obviously can't be ignored. This has become the big story in wrestling. So you've got to try to not... You can't report literally on every single thing. I've seen a lot of names mentioned that turned out to just have nothing to do with any of this. And you have to kind of weed that out. I've heard things about Darby. I don't know if it's true or not. I've not seen anything concrete on Darby. I mean, I've heard other things about Darby even before all this, but we won't get into that. But as far as I know, I don't believe so. But again, everything is moving so fast and furious. Give it another day or two and maybe there will be. I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's hard.
Right.
You've got to really be careful, though, when you're hearing these things. You got to dig into it a little bit deeper. And sometimes names just get thrown out there. And it's like, well, wait a minute, why was his name mentioned? And then it turns out, oh, well, some idiot just threw the person's name out and they have nothing to do with anything. So Darby, I'm not aware of anything, but it may be too early to say for sure. I don't think that had anything to do with why he wasn't on the show tonight. He's just not on the Fyter Fest card, so I would not read into that.
Yeah, I mean, I always look for concrete stuff anyway, you know, because, I mean, I'm one of those guys, like, even with Me Too stuff, and I was like, well, you know, we can't like, crucify these people until they're that, is, you know, because everybody's going to jump on the bandwagon, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's people that will come out of the woodwork that'll just try to get, you know, some money or fame. They're just disgusting as the people that are out there, you know, doing these disgusting things.
But here's
the
thing. I mean, a lot of that went out the window when you hear from so many wrestlers. I mean, I saw the Keith Lee story the other day, and that was terrible. You know, and good on him for sharing that story. And I'll talk more about that on the show on Sunday. But Keith Lee came out with a story of his own, you know, something that happened to him a number of years ago. But when you see all of these wrestlers who are not, you know, it's not like they're rallying around these people. In a lot of cases, they're coming out and saying, oh, well, I always knew that this person was a scumbag, or we always heard stories about this person, or they're just doing everything they can to distance themselves from these people. That tells you right there, there's a lot of smoke to this fire, right? Because if it was all nonsense and all BS, you would see a lot of these guys rallying around some of these people. No, it's not true. And I think their reactions, their tweets, their statements, as more of this news comes out, speaks volumes about the legitimacy of a lot of these claims. Without knowing for sure, it doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good look for a lot of these people. The Joey Ryan one just seems, he seems to be the worst offender of the bunch. That guy is just a piece of garbage. And the things that he's gotten away with. Oh my God. I mean,
it's not surprising to me though.
Well, you know what? You know what's really scary though? You know what's really scary is you think of the gimmick. You know, you think of the character.
Right, yeah.
Just the things that he got away with under the guise of just being the sleazy character. And then you come to find out, no, he's sleaze in real life. He's getting off on all this stuff. And he got away with it for a very long time. And it makes you want to vomit. I mean, it's disgusting that he was able to get away with this for so long.
Well, really, I was only a fan. Well, I wasn't even a fan of Joey Ryan, but I only, like, accepted him when he was in Lucha Underground because I felt like, I don't know, that character was kind of, you know, I mean, he was a sleaze ball on there too.
In the fact that I never liked Joey Ryan, even in Lucha Underground or Impact or anywhere. I was never a fan of that character.
I just thought he was a glorified jobber, to be honest. I mean, I wasn't big on the dick thing. I never understood the dick thing. I just thought that was like really weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I was not on the dick thing either. Just to put that out there. All right, on that note, that's a wonderful note, I think, to end on. Anything else, Chris, before we move on?
Well, I wanted to, because you're a fellow Lucha Underground fan.
Yes.
Did you see the Joey Janela Sonny Kissel segment? I'm sure. Did you feel Lucha Underground vibes from that little fight scene that they had out
at
the gas station?
Yeah, and I even said it felt to me like a little mini movie, I think was what I referred to it as earlier. It did actually have Lucha Underground vibes to it. That's a good point. It did kind of feel that way to me.
And that's where I was going. I think they benefited a little bit. They tried a little more stuff like that. I'd like to see a little more stuff like that because I always love the Lucha Underground stuff.
Yeah, no,
like
I agree.
It's always well done.
100%. I agree. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go so I can move on here. But I love getting your call every week. So thank you for...
All right, well, you have a good one and stay safe, all right?
All right, Matt, that's very important. You too. Where it's for everybody listening, wherever you may be, anywhere in the world. It doesn't have to be COVID. It could just be a general statement. I want everybody. That's why I end my podcast every week. That's my big sign-off. Be well, stay safe. I've been saying that for years. That hasn't changed. That has not changed. 202.
Hello, Solid Monster. This is a Dead Man Walking Garrett here.
Hey, Garrett.
Yeah, so as far as like this whole week goes, I mean, I know ever since like the very first Dynamite, I've just noticed a guy being the Dead Man or just being dead. But yeah, like this whole week in wrestling, I'm just like dead in the face right now. I'm just like so numb to all the news that's happening, especially today with all the COVID stuff. The Joey Ryan stuff, I mean, I feel guilty considering I went to his penis party event that he had at WrestleCon last year. Now I just feel bad doing that show. But
was that the one that they did at midnight? They did like a midnight or something?
No, that was after the Joey Ryan event. That was for a GCW show,
okay.
I think. That was the one with Chuck Taylor and Trent Barreto having a 1-minute time limit. And I remember Chuck telling me, yeah, we're going to tear the house down that night.
Yeah, I that's right. Yeah, I did hear about that.
Yeah, but so the guy mentioned that I kind of mentioned that Darby's name in the chat earlier about it because apparently the there was an indie wrestler who used to date Darby, you know, didn't mention him by name, said these accusations of being manipulative, being abusive, you know, the same stuff we heard all week. And then someone basically, you know, co-signed the claim. I don't think that any wrestling site's going to run with it until Darby actually speaks on it because I've heard stories. I mean, like you mentioned, you're like disturbing things about Darby. I mean, this guy, you saw his Twitter page where he's like caught himself on fire trying to do a skateboard trick. So it's very possible for me that he could do something as fucked up as that. But again, until I can hear like a statement or if there's any other evidence, I'm just going to have to hold out judgment on that.
Well, what I'm putting on my screen right now, which hopefully everybody can see, this is the New York Post article from today. Actually, this afternoon, and there you see what a headline that is. Brock Lesnar flashed his penis at me, says former WWE star Terry Runnels. And let me see if I can, I don't know if I'm going to be able to scroll down here. I might not be able to. But go ahead, keep talking, Garrett, as I talk about Brock Lesnar flashing his little beast at Terry Runnels.
Well, you know, other than that, you know, trying to move to a slighter note, you know, it's happy to see Sonny Kiss get a shot on TV, you know. The fact that they waited a whole year to actually use her on Dynamite in, like, a prominent role, you know, it's nice to see him, or, sorry, I keep confusing, you know, with Sonny Kiss. I guess him being a terrific performer and obviously very talented, you know. So hopefully I'll be able to see more of him on Dynamite going forward. WWE, we all knew that the situation with COVID was going to happen, but man, they really botched the situation. Do you ever think that the Florida is going to actually just crack down on wrestling in the state, or you just think it's going to be, you know, they're still going to let him go because, you know, Linda gave him all that money for that Florida?
No, I mean, as long as the governor is in place, nothing is going to change. You know, he's deemed them essential. So I don't see anything changing. Let me just, let me see here.
But But before I go, I just want to ask you, since AEW has been like signing up like legends as being managers, I just think there's one name that has to be a manager. You know, it's a shame they can't do it with Brian Cage. You guys got Taz, but all I want is to see Scott Steiner on a live mic on AEW managing some beefy guy, just doing his math promos or telling someone he's fat. You know, that's what I want to see right now in All Elite.
Well, they had him in NWA. He made an appearance like that on NWA Power not too long before everything went on hiatus. And then not long after that, he had a heart attack. So I don't know that he could necessarily, if he's up for the challenge or not. I guess to cut a promo, he'd be okay. But I do worry about his health a little bit. But it's never a bad thing to have a live mic in Scott Steiner's hand. So I think that could be very entertaining. All right, I'm gonna let you go here because I want to just read this for the people who see it on their screen. Brock Lesnar, this is according to the New York Post, originally published in The Sun. Oh, that's just disqualifying right there. I've been warned by enough people that The Sun is it's worth about as much as used toilet paper. But this story is getting traction. Brock Lesnar has been accused of sexual harassment by legendary WWE diva Terry Runnels. A host of wrestling stars have been accused of sexual assault and harassment over the past week. As part of the Speaking Out social media movement, AEW's Sammy Guevara has also been suspended for past comments he made about Sasha Banks in 2016. Now Runnels, age 53, has made allegations of her own against Lesnar. Runnels made her accusations against the former UFC champion, who is married to ex-WWE female star Sable, on the KEE on Sports podcast. I don't have a lot of respect for Brock. I don't think Brock respects wrestling fans, she said. Brock did something that, if it was in today's day and time, you know. He showed his little beast to me, called my name as I was walking past where he was in the dressing room, and opened his towel so I could see his manly bits. I would have much rather him not be so disrespectful of a female that's been in this business for as long as I have been. That is a picture of Terry Runnels from many years ago. Says he knew he was going to have a lot of power, that they were going to give him the strap. Boy, if you're not a wrestling fan and you hear that, that could have a lot of different meanings. If you talk about some guy getting the strap, I think they need to specify what they mean by that. But anyway, hold on a second. We got some breaking news. See, this news breaking every 2 seconds here. I see somebody in the chat said Renee Young confirmed she has COVID. Is that true? Can somebody confirm that for me? I'll check that out in a second. That's the first time I'm hearing of it. But that, you know, that goes to what I was saying before, when I kind of was alluding to Moxley saying he was exposed to someone who was exposed. Who else would Moxley be exposed to if not his wife? So I hope that's not true, but somebody in the chat will fill me in. Anyway, just to finish the story up here. Terry said that he knew he was going to get the strap, but at that point, I had been in the business for a long time. I have respect. And what he did was very, very wrong. From a respect standpoint, from a sexual harassment standpoint, it was wrong. Interesting that she made the claims previously about Brock in 2004. So this is not the first time that she has made these accusations. But I guess in light of this movement, she has once again spoken out about this. So there you go. Not even Brock Lesnar is safe from everything that is going on. And if he did that, well, I mean, that's obviously inappropriate. But yes, I'll take another call here and check this stuff out about Renee, who supposedly has confirmed this on her Twitter. I'm going to check here in just a second. In the meantime, let me take a call from our friend Jared. Jared, what's going on, man? I hope you're doing well.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good. I'm just going to mosey on over to Twitter here for a second and just see what the hell's going on.
I'm surprised Taz didn't say her name on air, but you're right. He is just 53 years old. He cuts the best promos in wrestling.
Oh, he's great.
Absolutely amazing what he could have, done back in 2000 when he debuted. But, you know, Vince saw him as a 5'5" guy that couldn't get over, but whatever. You know, Jason, the one thing that really got me this week, I know you're a big fan of him. I've become a huge fan of this guy. I had no idea who he was before All Elite was Sammy Guevara. And I hope Tony Khan does not give this guy the axe. I hope that there's a future for him. He is so talented. He is such a budding star. He's so young. He's so talented. And I really hope they, you know, that give him his punishment, I'm hoping he gets a second chance. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I said that at the beginning of the show. I think what he did was deplorable. I think it was very, very dumb.
Yeah.
And I think that him, you know, being punished now is just a price he's got to pay for being part of a company that's on television, on TNT. And, you know, for a company that talks about inclusiveness and all that kind of stuff, they almost had to do something. But I don't think it's worth him losing his job over. So I agree. I hope that he'll come out on the other side of this better off. But I would not fire him. I mean, I feel he, you know, it's not just a matter of, oh, he got caught. I mean, this was out there. It's not like this was some secret piece of audio. I mean, it was a podcast that he went on and said these things. And he seemed genuinely contrite and embarrassed. And I would not cost the man his job because of it.
No. But just to get to the show, I think the show was as great as it was last week. But I do think the show every week is rounding out. It's just maturing. It's getting better and better. The whole the Cody press conference, everything with you know, FTR, and they seem generally happy. It's cool to see. It really is cool to see that. And you know, the real slow burn. Don't put the tag titles on them first. Put them on the Bucks first. Have them beat the Bucks. That's how I think about them, because I think they're going to be with Arn or Tully. I think they're going to be with that group, that the new generation of the Horsemen, as you said last week.
Yeah. I think that. I mean, I'd be fine with that idea. I mean, I would be totally on board with that, and we'll see if that's the direction they go in. Anything else before I let you go? I want to get to this tweet here.
No, go ahead, Jason. Have a good night, man.
All right, you too. So here it is. Unfortunately, here is the tweet from Renee Young, and she just posted it about 10 minutes ago. It says, "Man, what a few days. My show gets canceled, and I get COVID. Wear your masks and wash your hands. Stay safe, everyone." So there it is. And what she's alluding to there is her FS1 show, WWE Backstage. At first, I thought it was just being scaled back. It wasn't going to air every week, but apparently, for all intents and purposes, the show has been canceled. So she finds out her show is canceled, and now she finds out that she has the virus, and so that sucks. That really, really sucks. And you know, AEW, obviously the main concern here is Renee. Hopefully she's got a mild case of it. She doesn't have any severe symptoms, I hope. You know, hopefully she doesn't have any kind of underlying health conditions, because that, you know, like I do, that's one of the things I worry about. You know, I have the whole blood cancer thing I talked about on my podcast when I got diagnosed a few years ago, and I can live my life and everything, and it's not that big of a deal at the moment. But the first thing I did was I talked to my doctor. I mean, that was the first thing I did. I said, "Am I a greater risk for this?" He said, "Yeah, you're at an elevated risk." I said, "Well, that sucks." So, you know, it's not something to fuck around with. That's why I get really angry when people kind of try to downplay it. I'm not going to get into the whole issue of the media overhyping it. I mean, there's always overhyping of everything. But this just, in some people just completely disregard it. Like, well, you know, unless you're 65 and up or something, you got nothing to worry about. And that's not the case. You know, there are people out there who have very good reason to be concerned. I know that because I'm one of them. But that sucks. But what I was getting at is, obviously her health is priority right now. But if you're AEW, your champion is living with somebody who has been positively diagnosed with COVID, You know, you got Moxley, who's supposed to be defending the AEW title against Brian Cage at Fyter Fest. You've got to be concerned also about whether or not you're going to have your champion for your big show in 2 weeks. Now, that's, again, not the number one priority right now, but I'm sure AEW and all of them are probably worried about that as well. You know, when you're sharing a home or an apartment with somebody that has it, it's tough. It's probably tough not to get it. So there's that element to it, too. But, man, that sucks. That really does suck. So, anyway, what a shit show. What a shit show. And, you know, that's why I was so angry when I opened the show. If they would have just started testing sooner. They claimed they were. They lied. They said they were testing. That's not what they were doing. And by their own admission now, they're first now going to start doing it. This is a billion-dollar company that fired, what was it, 2 or 3 dozen people in April to try to cut costs? I don't care how expensive it is to go ahead and test. You want to run shows? You insist on running shows? Then you fucking test. It's just that simple. And I don't know as far as the accessibility of tests now. Things I know have improved as far as there should be enough tests to go around. Supposedly they're doing 25 million tests a day all throughout the country. That one person asked me, they said, well, don't you think the test should go to the healthcare professionals first because they're in need of it? I'm not aware of there being testing shortages, but even if there are, WWE's an essential business. They've been deemed essential. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. You should be testing your fucking employees. You should be testing your independent contractors. You should be testing production staff. You should be testing the announcers. You should be testing everybody. They are flying in from all parts of the country. They don't all live in the same place. They're not in the bubble. Like the NBA is going to have some kind of bubble apparently or something. NBA is going to be running in Florida too. Oh boy. I'm glad I don't live in Florida right now. But that's what gets me so angry. You insist on running the performance center. You insist on doing these shows. At least test your fucking people. Had they done that, maybe they wouldn't have 2 dozen different people, apparently, who came back positive. You get one or two, you know. You know right away. You isolate them. You take care of it. Now they have a very big problem on their hands. I have no sympathy for WWE. None. None whatsoever. 610.
Hey, Solid Monster.
What's going on?
Hey, I'm so happy. This is like the first time I ever was able to get through. I've been listening to your show for years. Big fan.
Thank you.
Well, the reason I'm calling is a little off topic a little bit. A couple weeks ago, I posted on one of your videos on June 3rd about my mother passing away. And I just wanted to thank you and all your fans for all the positive vibes and love and everything that everybody sent my way. It really meant a lot to me.
Well, I appreciate that. And again, I'm sorry to hear that. It's awful, but no, I mean, it's not a problem at all. I mean, it's unfortunately, I wish that wasn't the case.
Yeah, it was weird because, you know, I live in Pennsylvania and I don't have family that lives here. It was just me taking care of my mother and, you know, and I felt really alone and I just didn't sleep that night and I put on your show and made me feel better and everybody was so wonderful, you know. So I just want to thank you and all your fans. So I really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
So keep up the great work and have a good night.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for the call. And look, I look at it like this, man. We're like one big family here. One big dysfunctional family. I'll tell you this much. If I was running a company and you guys were on my roster, I would test each and every one of you. That's how much I love each and every one of you. I would test. So I don't want to see any of you get sick. Or if you do, I don't want you to get me sick. So I have a self-serving reason also to want to do that. So if you worked for me, I would treat you right. I would treat you right. I would only take 30%, but I would treat you right. 484. 30% of what? I don't know. Royalties. I don't even know what I'm saying. 484.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Hey, another day, another nickel, right?
Another day, another nickel, and another, I don't know what's going on with all this news, but another headache for me trying to piece it all together.
I just wanted to make two quick points, and I'll get on to the AEW show. Mm-hmm. One, I have much more respect for guys like Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn sticking to their guns and not going, and Kevin Owens, mm-hmm. not putting themselves, especially Roman Reigns, not putting themselves at risk and doing what they're supposed to be doing and taking care of themselves and their family. I applaud them for that. And it speaks volumes to me that they must know the shit show of quote-unquote testing the WWE was doing. They had to have seen that, and I think that had to play a part in them not showing up for Raw and staying home like they should be doing. I totally applaud that.
Well, Kevin Owens was on that show, The Bump, I think earlier today, actually, and he revealed the reason why he wasn't at the most recent tapings. He said when he found out about that positive test a couple of weeks ago, he made the call not to go. And he said he went to WWE, and he said their reaction, I believe his exact words were, he told them, listen, I'm not going to be here for the tapings. And he said their reaction was, yeah, okay. And he said they knew better than to push me on this because they know that once I make a decision about something that there's no changing my mind, which is kind of interesting in that they didn't fight him on it, but it also didn't, he didn't make it sound like the company was overly enthusiastic about it. But look, that's their right. Roman Reigns had, he just had twins, you know, forget his own health situation. He just had twins.
Absolutely.
Now,
oh, yeah.
And it couldn't have been easy for him because he's the top dog. I mean, no pun intended, but he's the top dog in the company. He's positioned as the biggest star they have. I'm sure he was going to WrestleMania to win the championship, and they were going to build SmackDown around him. And I feel like there's just that old mentality of I'm the leader, right? I'm the locker room leader. I'm the big star. We've got to lead by example. You got to make your towns. You got to make your shots. And he's like, fuck this. I'm staying home. I got my reasons. I got a family. I got my own health to worry about. And there's no telling when he'll be back. But as you hear about stories like this, I thought the same thing. I thought of Roman. I thought of Kevin Owens. And I said, those guys know. What must they be thinking at home? I'm sure they're worried about their colleagues. Yeah. But they're thinking, see, they had the right idea.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I want to quick at the show tonight, it's kind of amazing. I go into New York Post a lot. You know, I'm a Yankee fan. Don't hold that against me. Might never take my call again. So I go into New York Post a lot, you know, to check, you know, the Yankee stuff and see Joel Sherman's column. It's amazing to me seeing how far wrestling as a whole has come to see the New York Post have a whole section on pro wrestling. It's kind of wild. The land of Phil Mushnick and the New York Post having its own section of wrestling. Kind of crazy, don't you think?
Yeah. And fuck Phil Mushnick, just for the record. But yeah, they have a writer, Joseph, I believe is his name. I'm not like friendly with him, but through my work, I've actually kind of, dealt with him or communicated with him a few times. And I guess he's obviously a big wrestling fan, and he's sort of inherited the wrestling beat. New York Post just had a whole story on MLW signing their streaming deal with DAZN. Or I'm sorry, it's not DAZN. I was corrected. It's DAZN. I was brutally mocked the other day when I put that clip up on YouTube, and they're like, "What did you say? Did you just go DAZN?" I'm like, "Yeah, because that's when you look at it, that's what it looks like." And the brain dead morons who came up with the name. Oh, no, it's DAZN. So anyway, New York Post had a whole story on that. When was the last time you saw a New York newspaper covering MLW, you know, or something like that? So it is cool.
Never.
Yeah, it's cool, but look, it's a double-edged sword because when you have stories like this, let's see if they pick up on all of the, you know, what's going on right now in I'm not even talking COVID. I'm talking about all the allegations and the harassment because that's a pretty big story. You would think that would get coverage as well. We'll see. I haven't seen anything in the Post yet, but I have a feeling this thing has not yet played itself out. Anything else?
That's right. Oh, yeah. When it comes to the show tonight, mm-hmm. Obviously, my favorite part of the show tonight was FTR versus SCU. I love that match.
That was a great match.
Especially, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cash. I think it was Cash Wheeler. I don't know their new names. You know, I think the one who did the slingshot suplex, I think it was Cash Wheeler.
Yeah.
And he did the Four Horsemen sign, another one of those signals that you've been hinting at.
Yes.
There was one spot that, you know, took away a little bit of the enjoyment for me in that match. I cannot stand... I mean, obviously, apron spots is one of the other things I pick apart when it comes to wrestling. I think those are stupid as well. But the one main one was that suplex. When they go, like, over head over heels, I think they do, and go to the floor. Kazarian, he nailed his head on the floor when they landed. Luckily, that wasn't a serious injury, but it's like...
What's that we know of.
To do something like that... I'm sorry.
No, I said that we know of.
Hello? Oh, yeah. I mean, to see that, I just don't understand doing a spot like that, especially in the setting that they're in right now, and also just in general. I mean, like, hopefully he's not too hurt. I mean, he did look a little banged up on the apron. That could have been just him selling. Who knows? But hopefully he's okay, because that did not look good when he landed. It did not look good at all.
Yeah, and I feel like Kazarian got his bell rung in a match on Dynamite not too long ago. So you got to be careful, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff and concussions, you know, all that, it's not something to screw around with. So yeah, that was not a fun part of the match, but on the whole, I agree with you. I thought it was just an excellent tag team match. Easily the best thing on the show tonight.
Oh yeah. And AEW does the best in hyping up their big matches as well. I really think they do the best right now. I think they do the best.
Great video packages. Great video packages.
Oh, my God. Hyping up Fyter Fest the way they did. That was great. Makes you look forward to it, for sure. Like, more so than people probably already did. But
to be fair, though, we've seen NXT do some pretty cool stuff like that also. I feel like it's something that we're not used to seeing on Raw or SmackDown so much, but it's those video packages that almost, it has like a sport feel to it, trying to build something up as like a big fight. We've seen NXT do some of that too, but AEW, when they do that kind of stuff, it's excellent. I love that. I love that type of material. I want to see them do more of that.
Like the Cody press conference was great. And that Lumberjack match was actually better than I thought it was going to be. I was not expecting Luchasaurus in a singles match. Yeah, that can be touch and go for me. But, like, Wardlow really impressed. That guy doing a Hurricanrana at his size and weight, holy hell.
Yeah, yeah. I did not expect to see that as I was watching the match.
All right, man. Well, hey, good luck to your Mets. You know, 60 games, anything can happen, just so you know.
Yeah, I was so happy, though, because the Mets had a perfect season going so far. I could boast that they have not yet lost a game, and then I feel like once the season actually begins, I won't be able to say that anymore, but we'll see. I mean, maybe they'll do well with the abbreviated season. We'll see.
Well, they're a bad team. I have the MLB Network on the TV right now. They showed some teams like the Giants went 37-23 in a 60-game stretch in I think it was 2016, 2017, something like that, and they finished 71-92 to end the year. So you never know. Stranger things can happen.
You never know. I keep telling myself that every season, right? You never know.
All right, man. Hey, take it easy.
All right, you too. Have a good one. You never know. That's like the Mets slogan. You never know. I say it every year, even though the reality is I know. But I tell myself that so I can at least try to get myself a little bit hyped up and not want to jump off a building. Let's play some catch up here. We're not done yet. We got a lot left to go. Zantara, about half an hour ago, sent in $10. Says, looks like Solid Monster took a trip to Colombia to visit Senor McMahon's barbershop. Yes, that's one of the more memorable opening skits on the podcast. So thank you for remembering that. Magician Sapphire, thank you for the 10. Do you see Orange Cassidy going over clean on Jericho at Fyter Fest? Who needs the win more? Well, a lot of that depends on what they're doing with Jericho. If they're doing the Mike Tyson thing, haven't heard a peep about it, might not be happening. If he's going to do that, I think there's a way you could have Orange Cassidy win. to put more heat on things if, let's say, Tyson appeared and somehow cost Jericho the match. If that's not happening, though, I would not have Orange Cassidy beating Chris Jericho clean. If there's another opponent for him who wants to get involved and cost Jericho the match, I could see that. But no, I would not have Orange Cassidy beat Jericho clean. I would have a competitive match. I would make this the most competitive match we have seen Orange Cassidy in to date in his career, and he falls short. Jericho underestimates him. He has a bitch of a time against this guy, but then in the end, out of nowhere, boom, hits the Judas effect, and he pulls out the win. That's the way I think it should go. Jericho still has enough value where, you know, he's not doing anything major at the moment. I wouldn't have him losing to Orange Cassidy. I think that would be a mistake. Dry chicken without flavor. I was wondering when you were going to pop up. Says, I'm calling it Sonata and Okada New Japan Cup Finals rematch in an instant classic potential match of the year candidate. That is your bold prediction. Your bold prediction. I picked Sonata to win the New Japan Cup at the beginning of the year when I did the prediction show. And that reminds me, I have a lot of catching up to do on New Japan. All this damn news this week. I haven't watched anything yet. I'm so far behind and I was looking forward to New Japan coming back. This always happens. Something comes up. The world falls. The whole wrestling world collapses. Dorian Moore, thank you for the $2. Darby was once on the show. Sex sent me to the ER. Yeah, I heard about that. That's a bullshit show. Those are like fake stories they have people reading. It's not real. Much like a lot of reality television. It's not real. Says Terry once. Oh, that's right. She dated New Jack. I think Terry did date New Jack at one point. Chris Quillman, thank you for the $2. Lone Wolf said his father had COVID a month ago and fully recovered. A good diet, regular exercise, and positive thinking goes a long way. But with Renee testing positive, could this mean Moxley being out of Fyter Fest? That's what I just said. Yeah, I think it's got to be a concern for AEW. You know, health first. But if they've got a world title match scheduled in 2 weeks. I don't know. I would think that it's very much up in the air right now if Jon Moxley is going to be okay for that show. Just have to wait and see. It's too early to know. Let's just take a few more. 205 Live.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing fine. Just maintaining as much as I can.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, I noticed you told us a few years ago about your form of blood cancer you have. Since we're having the developments with the whole COVID-19 issue, I wanted to know, how are you doing in regards to your health?
Thank you for asking. I am doing well at the moment. Everything is status quo. See, my situation is basically, it's a weird thing. So I don't know when it developed. The way it was explained to me, it just is one of those things that just sort of happens. It's almost like one day a switch gets flipped. There's no explanation for it. There's no answer as to why. There's no, you know, cure for it. It's like a chronic progressive thing. In my case, you know, my body, my bone marrow, whatever, just produces too many platelets. So I got sick once. I had some kind of virus. And a doctor noticed my blood work and said, some things are a little elevated here. He goes, it could just be because you're sick. Come back to me in a month. And so I did. When I got better, I went back and he's like, everything is still high. Let's do a few tests. And that's how I found out. It was just by accident. Because a few things on a regular CBC were just a little out of whack. You know, and that's how I found out. So, you know, in my case, it's one of those things where you got to be concerned about flying, for example, for long periods of time, because it puts you at a greater risk for a lot of really nasty things, you know, blood clots, stroke, heart attack, you know, all that kind of stuff. So when I read about this COVID stuff and some of the impacts, I mean, they're seeing some really wild things as far as the effects on the circulatory system and blood vessels. That's what really got my attention and had me contacting my doctor and saying, does this put me in a weird kind of situation? He says, yeah, it kind of does. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at this point. It's not anything where it's affecting me day to day in a major way, but there's ups and downs, and I don't talk about it a lot, but you know, I just try not to think about it, because what the hell are you going to do? That's what I told myself from day one. I go, what are you going to do? You're going to worry about it? Just going to sit and think about it all the time? It's people a lot worse off than me. So anyway, I'm doing well, though. I appreciate you asking. That's very nice of you.
Yeah, I'm glad that you have that mentality, too, because I was concerned, because definitely when you were taking your trips to Vegas and your trip to Columbia and everything, I was wondering, well, were you okay? Because
it's funny you mentioned that, because when I got hurt, for those who don't know, I was on a trip to Columbia a couple of years ago, and everything was going great, and then I had a little accident on the last night. I got injured, and it really worried me, because I've never seen so much blood in my life. And the first thing I thought of was, oh, shit. Like, yeah, I thought of the condition that I have. And now they're rushing me in the middle of the night to a Colombian hospital, and nobody speaks English. And I'm trying to communicate to them and explain what I have. And I'm just getting a lot of head nods and smiles. And I'm like, this is not good. I'm literally, like, I've never seen my friend. His face was white as a ghost, because all he did was look down. And I'm sitting in a hospital hallway in a wheelchair, and they had to keep bringing towels out because there was just a pool of blood under my chair, you know, because nobody was seeing me. And that's how much blood I lost. And so finally, they brought me into a room, and they're like washing the knee. And I'm like, you got to give me something. Like, if you don't give me something, I'm going to punch somebody. You got to put me out. And I just remember I went out, I woke up, I looked down, and my whole leg was all wrapped up. And these two very cute nurses came into the room, and they're like smiling and everything, and they're being very friendly. And they're like, okay, we're going to wash you now. I'm like, excuse me? They're like, yeah, we're here to wash you. I go, wash me? I think I could do that myself. Until I looked down and I saw like all this like dried blood, and you know, my blue bathing suit was red. It was... If you were there, it was just a crazy scene. But yeah, I was worried about that, because I had to fly home. And, you know, they stitched me up, and I'm thinking, all right, well, should I be flying? Because I'm flying. Like, no one's keeping me here. And thankfully, the airport doctor cleared me. They said, you have to go to the airport doctor. He's going to examine you. If he says it's okay for you to fly, you'll fly. But if not, you're stuck here. And I just remember sitting in that wheelchair, being wheeled through the airport, and he's wearing like almost like a military uniform, but he's like a nice guy. And he takes me into a room, and he goes, so how do you feel? I said, I feel good. Because my friend told me beforehand, he goes, I don't give a shit how you feel. You tell him you feel good. Because if you tell him you don't, he will not let you fly. He's like tapping on my knee, and I'm in pain. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. It's good. And anyway, 6 hours later, I was home. That was not a very fun flight home. So now I have the scar to always remember that story of the night I almost died because I did something very, very dumb.
Well, you can say, even though you're not a wrestler, Jason, you can definitely say in your career that you did the job for that glass door in Columbia.
Oh, boy. You know what? I did the job, but... I did something very, very stupid. That's what I did. So,
yeah, kind of like what Vince McMahon is doing with the WWE. I was listening to your show tonight, which, as always, is a very good show, Jason.
Thank you.
I have to honestly say, no problem, man. This is my required listening for Wednesday nights. I have to honestly say, Jason, listening to what is going on in WWE, with the potential of a dozen plus people contracting COVID, and looking at what the measures Tony Khan is taking with AEW, it really makes WWE look worse for what they're doing in regards to their talent. It seems like Tony Khan, in just a year, maybe 2 years, has taken more of a proactive approach to taking care of his talent, making sure that they're all tested thoroughly, performing in an open-air arena. And Vince McMahon is continually thumbing his nose at prevention, thumbing his nose at proper protocol, running in a tight space, people getting affected, even people that are no longer working with the company like John Moxley. And it's almost as if Vince McMahon thinks that even in these times, he's above the law and above health procedures. Do you think the reason why I say this is, you think the reason why Vince McMahon does this is because he has no other option? He has no plan B. That wrestling is everything for him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, you could say that he's got no plan B, but I mean, again, you think of all the money he has and he has other interests. Obviously he tried to start a football league and all that. So I don't necessarily buy that, honestly, as an excuse. But yeah, I mean, he's, maybe it's just an addiction to, you know, what he's been doing for so many years. I don't know. It's kind of hard to get into his head and know exactly what he's thinking, to be honest with you. That's a dangerous thing to be doing, to get into his head, of all heads. By the way, just to, if people are wondering what the hell they're looking at on the screen, that's the end result of the accident. So that's the...
Ooh.
The that's the window that I destroyed with my knee.
Mm.
Now, in my defense, that thing, it looks like a window. That was open the whole day. And so what ended up happening was I didn't realize that some idiot had closed it, and I was outside and went to step in, and you see you have to kind of pick your leg up to step in. And yeah, my knee went through it. And that's the end result. And like I said, I've never seen so much blood in such a short period of time in my entire life. I don't know if you can see it, but like if you look outside, there's like a little dark spot. I don't know if you guys can see it, but that's where the blood was on the floor. Anyway, that was the aftermath. And then I had to pay for the damages too, because that was not our... we were renting that home. It's like a nice villa. And anyway, so yes, that was the... end result. I just wanted a visual aid to go along with the story for anybody who never saw it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jason, that glass doesn't look half as bad as the glass that Shane McMahon went through in that match with Kurt Angle at King of the Ring 2001.
No, and Shane landed on his head, too, every time he got suplexed into that thing. So, yeah, I would not want to be Shane McMahon. But believe me, this wasn't very fun either. Take my word for it. This was not very fun.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it was, but thank God that you came out as well as you did after shattering that glass, because that looked pretty wicked, Jason.
Yeah. The only thing missing was the shattered glass at the beginning of Stone Cold's theme. Somebody could have hit the music right when I put my leg through the damn thing. It would have been appropriate.
Yeah, that is true. So with what's going on right now, do you think, as you said in your podcast, do you think that Vince McMahon will actually take this more seriously and test people more thoroughly? Because
he's going to have
to. If he continues this.
Well, look, I mean, he's going to have to. He's got no choice. Now they've been put on the spot. People are getting sick. People's health is at risk. If he insists on continuing to run shows, and frankly, I think it's completely ridiculous that they're even allowed to run shows at this point. I mean, you know, with that many positive cases, that building should be shut down, if we're being perfectly honest. But people are going to make excuses and everything. Oh, you can't, you know, essential, you know, we need them. We need WWE. No, you don't. You don't need WWE. Enough with the bullshit. They weren't essential before. They're not essential now. And if they're not going to do what needs to be done to keep people safe, then they shouldn't be allowed to run shows. It's just that simple. But I'm sure that they'll be treated with kid gloves because it's Florida and they got buddies down there. So, you know, I'm sure they'll tape SmackDown on Friday and it'll be business as usual. But now they have no choice. And they've already announced that they're going to be taping or testing, rather, from now on, which is good. But it sucks that it took this situation to convince them to do something that they should have already been doing on their own 2 or 3 months ago. And that's the issue I have with this. If they're going to test from now on, great. You should have been doing that 2 months ago. So anyway, that's, I've said my
piece. Amen. Yeah, amen. That's what they should be doing, because... Yeah, I read the news all the time, and I see on Google, I see on Yahoo, I see on general NBC News that Florida is having an increased level of people with coronavirus when they just tested phase one of reopening bars and restaurants, they had to turn back around and close them because the COVID was rising in those areas.
I don't know. I mean, they make their own rules down there. All I'm worried about is the WWE folks, you know, since we're so focused on wrestling, I don't really care about what else is going on in the state. I don't live in Florida. This whole situation, though, is an embarrassment. I mean, you could do an entire a Dark Side of the Ring series. Forget one episode. You could do a double episode. They did a double episode on Benoit this past season. This is like a double episode of Dark Side of the Ring season 4. Just on how they've handled this whole situation from the very beginning. It's absolutely ridiculous that a company as big as they are and the money they have and the resources they have, that they have completely just, this whole thing has been one big clusterfuck. This should have been easy. And to see that they're in this situation now is, it's an embarrassment. It's a shameful, embarrassing situation. But listen, all good stuff, man. I really appreciate the kind comments. Anything else here before I let you go?
No more than just thank you for taking my call again, Jason. And I, as always, I appreciate the work that you put into every single one of your shows from Sunday to Wednesday. And I agree with you. I am going to thoroughly miss you discussing the Undertaker documentary show.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had a chance to watch the documentary and listening to your commentary on it, it is spot on. So you're doing a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's it. That's a great segue now to my plug that you see on screen. The Undertaker series is over. And if you did miss it, my Chapter 5 Revelation review is up on the YouTube channel. I did an hour-long video on it. Did the Undertaker retire? Right? You saw all those headlines this week. I saw so many headlines, and I get into this in the episode if you missed it, but it's like, I see all these websites like, the Undertaker has officially retired. I'm like, what? I'm like, are you kidding me? I had a nice belly laugh. Like, I was sitting in this chair, and I was like rocking back and forth, laughing my ass off at the idea that people think the Undertaker has retired. Yeah, the Undertaker has retired. The Undertaker was leaving his house, and he was driving down the road, and he saw some poor woman all by herself, and her car had stalled out, and her car was on the side of the road, and he got out of his car and said, what's the problem? And she said, oh, my tire is flat. And so the Undertaker bent down on his knee, which is probably tough for him to do at this point, but he bent down, and he's retiring the car for the woman, and some fan drove by and said, hey, the Undertaker is retiring. That's about the only retiring the Undertaker is doing. As a fucking mechanic. The Undertaker is not retired. He said himself, all it takes is one call from Vince McMahon. If Vince McMahon needs the Undertaker, well, guess what? Undertaker is not retired. And now we have the situation where Vince McMahon is in dire need, right? He may be in dire need of talent. He's got 24 people now who got sick. Many of those people are talents. You don't think Vince McMahon might be on the phone to the Undertaker in the next few days? How hilarious would that be? This special airs. Everyone's like, he's retired. A week later, he gets the phone call from Vince. Hey, pal. What are you doing next week? Got an idea. Undertaker is retired. Get the fuck out of here. That nonsense. I don't want to hear this Undertaker is retired crap. It's absolutely ridiculous. Oh, my goodness. So let's see who else we got here. Jackalope Music. Jackalope Music, hi Solo. A few questions. WWE Backstage was canceled. Could you see CM Punk in AEW? No. I get the impression that CM Punk is not a well-liked figure amongst the elite in AEW. So I do not see that happening. Jackalope again. Thank you. Dry chicken without flavor. $6. I'm going with a massive, shocking prediction. Cody turns on the elite at Blood and Guts, either late 2020 or 2021, with his new Four Horsemen faction. Well, you know what? That would be the perfect time to do it, and it sucks, because I don't know how long they're going to... They may want to hold off on it indefinitely until they can get people into the building. How long can you go? How many months can you wait? But, yeah, to do it in their version of War Games, oh, that would be perfect. That's a great idea. I just don't know if they can hold off that long. I guess we'll have to wait and see. we will have to wait and see how it goes. All right, let's do one or two more, and then we'll wrap it up here. I'm having fun, man. I'm having fun talking to everybody tonight. All these horrible stories this week. You guys always put me in a good... There's another one in here. There's another... Where are these things coming from? Where are these mosquitoes coming from? This is terrible. All right. Let's take a call so I can kill. I've got a kill. I've got a murder here. 416.
Hey, I just want to say I think you have a very nice haircut.
Oh, thank you.
I feel very warm and fuzzy inside.
I feel human again.
I'm sorry. I got a little carried away.
I feel human again.
I just wanted to ask. The whole Sammy Guevara with his comments that he made about Mercedes Varnado, does this rule him out of a possibility of going to WWE in the future? Does he end up on their shit list?
Well, I mean, that's a question that only WWE can answer. I would think not. I mean, if he can just stay on the straight and narrow and not say anything dumb, you know, for the rest of his career, certainly not as dumb as that. I would think that at some point, if he were to become available, they would consider it. But that's what also makes it so stupid. Like, dude, you're on a podcast. You know what I mean? Like, you're on, it doesn't matter how big or small the podcast is, you're in a public forum and you make a comment like that about a woman who you might have one day as a colleague, as a coworker. That's what made this, you know, even more stupid than the comment itself. But I don't think it necessarily disqualifies him from ever going to WWE. You know, forever is a long time.
And what are your thoughts on the whole Impact trolling WWE on Twitter with the whole, like, Slammiversary thing with the releases and this and that? Like, do you think it's a good thing that they're kind of capitalizing on it? Or
yeah, they have to. They have to because Impact has no buzz. And so they're trying to create some... I don't know how many of you saw this. Anybody who knows my thoughts on the whole Aces and Eights thing. There was a thing with D'Lo Brown. There was, I guess, a segment where he's sitting at a desk and he's talking to somebody on the phone and he finishes the conversation and he stands up and he walks away and they show his old Aces and Eights vest on the back of the chair and they start playing the Aces and Eights music. And then he reaches into the frame and he grabs the vest and snatches it. Oh my God. That, you know, as if 2020 has not been a horrible enough year, we've had COVID. We've had all these horrible scandals with wrestling, like in the last week or so. We have murder hornets, right? Kobe, poor Kobe at the beginning of the year. All of these horrible things have happened. The topper of all toppers would be the return of Aces and Eights. I don't think I could handle that. I think that would end me. That would be the end of me. Although I have to say, Aces and Eights music is pretty cool. That was the one thing about Aces and Eights I liked, was their music. I'll give them that much. But look, anything they can do, right? Anything they can do to generate, you know, anything they can do to generate attention, anything they can do to generate some kind of buzz. I assume that some of those released WWE stars are going to be brought in. You know, isn't Rhino an Impact? So we might see Heath Slater. I don't know. You may see Zack Ryder. You may see Rusev. Who knows? I would have to think that we are going to see... I think there's a very good chance we see EC3. I think we could very well see an EC3 return to Impact, which is where he really made a name for himself. So it's good. It's good for Impact. They have to do something to generate interest in that show because nobody's talking about them. Other than the fact that they just fired Joey Ryan, Dave Crist, they've suspended Michael Elgin, which is a huge blow because he was all over the buildup to this next big show. No idea if Elgin's going to come back or not. He's suspended at the moment. So that's not the kind of publicity they wanted. They want some good publicity. You do what you got to do. Make people think that you're going to have some old faces show up or some new faces are going to come to Impact. It's not a bad idea. And 313.
Hey, Fall Monster.
Hey, who am I talking to?
This is Dustin in Detroit.
Dustin in Detroit, what's going on?
Hey, I really like Kenny Omega, but I really feel like they're kind of holding him back and that they should really end his title run with Paige as a heel. That way he can just, you know, just be that number one bad guy and just show everybody else like how good he can be.
I think it will. I think it'll happen. I think it's just a matter of time before the split happens and Kenny Omega ventures off on his own, and he'll be challenging for the championship. It's inevitable. Just, you know, they're taking their time with it. I think the whole pandemic situation kind of stalled things out a little bit. That's going to cause a delay in whatever their plans were. But yeah, I think you're going to get what you're looking for. We got to be a little more patient, but I think it's coming.
All right, that's pretty much it. I don't want to take up all your time because I'm sure you got other people on the line wanting to talk to you. But I really appreciate you taking my call, and I really appreciate your content.
Well, thank you for calling, Dustin. Dustin from Detroit with the question here as we begin to wind down just a little bit. Got so many people still joining us live. I hate to part ways yet, but Jackalope, I forgot that second shout out for you earlier. So thank you, Jackalope. All right, you know what? Oh, boy. 213.
What's up, Tall Monster?
What's going on, Luis? How you been?
Better.
Hanging in there?
Are you?
Hanging in there?
Yep. I'm hanging in there.
Good. I'm very happy to hear that. Did you happen to have any thoughts on Dynamite tonight on tonight's show?
I fell asleep.
Of course you did. So anyway, I feel like every time I ask that question, he never sees the show. I don't even know why I bother asking the question. So let me ask you this. When did you wake up? Did you see any of it at all?
Like the last minute of it, that's it.
Okay. Hey, Christian in the chat, what's your area code? Let me know. But anyway, go ahead, Luis.
Okay. Hey, one more thing. You know what's going on with the allegations against Brock Lesnar, right?
Well, I talked about it right here on the show a little bit earlier. It's actually an old story that has been dredged up. It was an allegation that she made against him all the way back in 2004, so it's not exactly a new story.
Damn. Man.
This is
complete garbage. I can't believe the wrestling business is a cesspool, like you said on the podcast on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good thing and it's also a bad thing. Like, ugh.
Why is it a good thing?
It's a good thing because we can watch it on TV, and it's a bad thing because of all of the stupid, ridiculous shit that's happened over the years.
That's right. I agree with Luis. See, Luis mm-hmm. has his finger on the pulse of what's going on. I think what they need to do, they have to drain the swamp in wrestling and get all the riffraff out. We got to get people like you and me into the wrestling business. We'll clean that place up.
One more thing.
All right, make it quick.
Get that hashtag WrestleMania 37 in Tampa trending, please.
But you're in California.
LA can have 38.
But you're in California. Why would you want it in Tampa?
We can wait one more year.
All right, well, there it is. Luis wants WrestleMania in Tampa for whatever reason, even though he is a California resident. Luis, I do appreciate hearing your voice. It's been a few weeks. I'm going to let you go now, but you have yourself a good night, okay?
All right.
All right, that is the one and only Luis, who I guess is in the 213, but he's a big fan of the 405, I guess. Florida is not the place I want to be right now. But apparently Luis is a big Florida guy. All right, I'm hoping this is Christian. This will be a good, maybe a good point to end. Is this Christian?
Yes, it is.
All right, I'm glad I got you. What's going on, Christian?
Yeah, I got a tease because the first call you took was another 631 number.
That's my Russo swerve on you for the night.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I just I want to bring up this point because listened to Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson's podcast, Talking Shop, mm-hmm. and Rocky Romero's, because This happened like a few weeks ago. I've been trying to call in to, like, to say this, but no one's brought it up yet. But because of the Slammiversary show, they've been showing the WWE stars that are like who, any of the released talent that could possibly show up. They have this Patreon thing for their podcast, Talk and Shop, and it's called Countdown to Fucktown, which is funny, but it's on the same. And they've been promoting it as like they're gonna air all their shit out.
Countdown like, to Fucktown.
Yeah.
Oh boy, this might not be the week for that.
Yeah, yeah, but they've been promoting it for a while, and it's basically they said they're gonna air all their shit out, and the truth is gonna come out on July 18th, which is the same day as the Slammiversary show. So I was wondering if it might be them, because they've been promoting this thing. Because when I heard it, it was like early June is when they started promoting, and they said that we're gonna air all our shit out on July 18th, and that's the same day as the Slammiversary show. So
yeah,
I don't know if it could be then, but
yeah. So you make a good point, and I should have mentioned them. Not only that, but Gallows was a member of Aces and Eights, so it makes me wonder if maybe there might be some kind of tie in there. I think there's a very good chance we see them pop up on Impact. I don't know if that means they've signed a deal with them, if it's a one-shot. Yeah, I would not at all be shocked to see Anderson and Gallows popping up on the Impact show. 651.
What is up, Sal Monster? It's your favorite Brandon from Florida.
Hey, Brandon.
Questions. Do you think, like, if Tessa Blanchard goes to AEW, do you think she should be with Cody's Four Horsemen group? And fuck, what was the other question?
Well, I don't think. Let me just say this: it is the summertime, and if I remember correctly, and I don't know this for fact, but I was under the impression that Tessa's contract with Impact was up sometime in the summer. So let's assume that's true. Even if you wanted to bring her into the company, into an AEW, given her comments in the past, this would be a horrible time, I think, to be bringing her into your company. So the question is, do you wait? Do you bring her in? Do you stay away from her? Because there's no doubt she's got talent, and her father obviously works for AEW. Having her as sort of the resident female in a Four Horsemen type faction, I think could be pretty cool. But I think you're going to get a lot of divided opinion about bringing her in if that's the case. I just don't know the timing right now is ideal for that. So that could be a story to watch. When is her contract up with Impact? Is it this summer, or does she still have time left on her deal? Right now she's stuck in Mexico with her fiance or her husband, Daga. I guess they're getting married. So she can't go anywhere. As far as I know, she's stuck in Mexico, but that could be an interesting story to follow.
Okay, and then second question. Have you heard any news of like House of Glory? Like, are they still good? Are they like financially, like they're not going to close down or anything?
So as far as House of Glory is concerned, I don't have the latest updates. I think once things begin to die down, I expect HOG to be back in operation and to kind of resume. That's not going to happen anytime soon, obviously, given the state of things here in New York. I have not heard anything else. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm privy to everything just because I do commentary for House of Glory. And I love doing commentary for House of Glory, and I hope I get the chance to go back to doing it. It would really stink if, you know, for whatever reason, I wasn't able to, go back to doing that. And so, I enjoy doing it, and imagine how I feel, right? I mean, it's been how many months since we've had a show. I'm chomping at the bit, waiting to go back. I have not heard anything other than it's just a matter of time. So I hope that's the case, and I have every reason to believe that HOG will be back very soon and stronger than ever under new management and new ownership. Right? Master P's HOG. So fingers crossed that everything works out on that end. Here are the polls. AEW Dynamite, 78.2% up. 21.8% down. NXT, 68% up, 32% down. Another one for the good guys. And by good guys, I mean Wednesday Night Wrestling. So that goes for NXT and AEW. Always an enjoyable night of pro wrestling. Please don't forget, if you missed it, to check out my Undertaker review, Chapter 5, the finale, Revelation, and the Undertaker's return. Oh, I can't even say that with a straight face. I cannot even say that with a straight face. The Undertaker's retirement. Let me compose myself. Thank you all for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it. We had a lot of people joining tonight. We had a lot of different things to talk about. WWE, AEW. I'm going to have a lot more to say about this WWE stuff as more information comes out in the next few days. That'll be on Sunday's show, episode 658. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about maybe some New Japan if I could actually get around to watching it in the next few days. And, you know, all this horrible news between COVID and the allegations and everything. It's terrible stuff, but it's got to be covered. It's important stuff. It's affecting wrestling. It's affecting the industry. It's changing the industry, hopefully for the better. We'll talk about all that on Sunday. And I hope you'll join me then on all the usual podcast platforms. You see the logos down below. I think we're all caught up on Super Chats. Thank you for all your support. So until next weekend stream, be well, stay safe. Thank you to everybody in the chat. I love you guys. You guys know it. Stay safe. And I will see you for episode 658 this Sunday. Until then, take care, guys.
Today, the world looks pretty different. But already new problems are being met with new thinking. Researchers are using supercomputers to help discover treatments. Retailers are turning to the cloud to restock shelves more quickly. Teachers are using technology to rethink the classroom. It's not all we can do, but it's a start. IBM. Let's put smart to work. See how we're helping at ibm.com/COVID-19/UK.
To build a professional website with fast hosts, you don't need much. You don't need technical skills to drag and drop design elements into place. You don't need a big budget to get your domain, website tools, and 24/7 support all included. And with the mobile edit feature, you don't even need to be at your computer. All you do need is our website builder. So start your free trial at fasthosts.co.uk/build.